Wife then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Let them use the office of a deacon being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. As far as we read God's word. Our text this morning is found in verse 13 of this chapter. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. The Church of Jesus Christ needs the office of the deacon. This is evident from the fact that Christ, who is the exalted head of the church, has ordained and instituted this office along with that of the elder and of the preacher of the gospel. Providentially, Christ guided the apostles to see the need for this work in the church, and therefore the church at his command now chose certain men to serve as deacons in the church. Acts 6 verse 6 teaches us that the apostles laid their hands on these men that they chose, and in that way, of course, they were ordained into their office. And this is why we, according to the mandate of Christ, install into office in our own church this morning a new deacon. In doing so, we need to hear the instruction of the labors of the deacon, as well as the fact that by faithfully serving, he purchases unto himself a great possession. That the deacon holds a distinct office in the church is a fact that Scripture itself teaches us. And yet there are those who will dispute that place in the church. They see no need for a separate office, it seems, to labor in the finances of the church. As a result, these either drop the function of the deacon in the church altogether, or they confuse this office together with the other offices in the church. In some churches, the deacons rule the church, belonging to a board of deacons, which serves more or less as a board of trustees that rules over the church. Those churches who ignore the distinct labor of deacons in the church do not concern themselves with proper ecclesiology. They may know other doctrines of the Scripture well, but their doctrine of the church lacks. The Bible is clear, however, in its instruction in the office of the deacon and the function that this office serves now in the church. As we pointed out, and as our form this morning will also point out, Acts 6, the first several verses clearly reveals to us the origin of the office of the deacon, as well as the particular work to which a deacon was called. Other passages of Scripture speak of this office too, some of them referring to it as the office of mercy in the church. So the Bible is replete with evidence of a particular office of the deacon. And the chapter that we read here in 1 Timothy 3 clearly proves both the office and the work of a deacon. In this chapter, Paul sets forth clearly for Timothy, a young pastor in the church of Ephesus, what he must look for in men if they are to serve as office bearers in the church. And by doing so, Paul lays out the groundwork for competent office bearers, but also implicitly reveals that there are both the offices of elder in the church, or bishop, and deacon. This chapter of the Word of God is perhaps the most outstanding chapter of all of Scripture regarding elders and deacons and the labors they perform and their qualifications. It teaches us qualifications of these office bearers, the work of these offices, and the fact that these offices are established in the church. This morning, we're going to focus our attention on verse 13. It deals with the office of our deacons and includes some much-needed incentive for our deacons as well. So we consider the possession of the deacons. Certainly, when we purchase something to ourselves, then it becomes our possession, and our text speaks of the deacons purchasing something to themselves. So we're going to talk about the possession of the deacons. In the first place, a faithful minister. A faithful minister. Secondly, a twofold possession. And then finally, a necessary incentive. When speaking of the possession of a deacon in the verse that we examine, Paul specifies that this possession belongs only to the deacon that uses his office well. In other words, the Apostle Paul is not speaking of the fact that if one serves as a deacon, he's going to purchase to himself a good degree just by serving as a deacon. That's not what Paul is talking about here. Paul speaks of the fact that a deacon who serves well or faithfully in the church of Jesus Christ purchases to himself a good degree. But then the question arises, doesn't it? What is that task of a deacon? One that he must fulfill if he's going to be faithful or fulfill his office well. To understand that task, people of God, we must determine why this office is called that of a deacon. What is behind the title deacon? The term literally means servant or attendant. The idea being that a deacon serves or attends to the needs of another. A deacon ministers to the need of another. And that's why we chose the term faithful minister here. Children, we're not talking about the minister of the gospel, that is the preacher now, when we talk about minister here. Actually, the word deacon means minister. He's one who ministers to the needs of another. And that describes the task of a deacon. Deacons are called to serve the church of Jesus Christ by means of ministering to the saints. There is more than this too, but we're going to consider that in a moment. The point is, the work or task of the deacons is implied in the very title, deacon. A deacon is a minister, not a preacher, a minister to others. And humbly, he is called to serve others in the church. As such, a deacon labors in a particular office in the church. We bring that up because the scripture in various places uses the word deacon in a broader sense or a more general sense. We emphasize the fact that in this passage it's speaking of the office of a deacon. For example, our magistrates, according to Romans 13, verse 4, are ministers or deacons of God who wield the sword power of God. There were people who labored in the early church with the Apostle Paul on the mission field who ministered to his needs. And the word used in those instances is, in fact, in the Greek, the word deacon. There were individuals, both men and women, in the various churches who ministered to the needs of their fellow saints. Phoebe, in Romans 16, verse 1, is an example of such. There we have that same word that is used, but in a general sense of the word. These two were called ministers or servants. But when it is used there in these verses, then it is used, obviously, in a more general sense of the word. There's no reference to an official position of a deacon in that instance. But that's not what Paul is talking about here in this present chapter that we have before us. He's talking of two particular offices in the church, the office of the elder, and then what we read in verse 13, our text, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree." There's an office that's implied there. As is sufficiently evident from the context, Paul refers in this passage that we consider to an official position in the church institute, in the church of Jesus Christ, to which men were called and ordained. That's obvious once again from Acts 6. But notice what Paul explains to Timothy also in this word of God. That's the calling of that office of a deacon. What must a deacon do in order to use his office well? What work or task does a deacon perform in order that he is faithful, a faithful minister to God? You see, beloved saints, there's this whole area in our lives as God's people that we call soul care. Jesus Christ, of course, himself is the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. But he entrusts soul care to the office bearers in his church. And that soul care goes beyond the soul care that elders perform or that a minister of the gospel performs. There's no doubt about it that each of these offices performs a certain soul care of God's people. Minister of the gospel ministers the gospel, that is, the preaching of God's word to the souls of God's people. And it instructs them and it comforts them and it admonishes them and so on. So I'm a minister, but I am ministering the gospel or the preaching of the gospel to God's people. The elders, in their soul care over the church, not only speak words of comfort by visiting God's saints in their particular needs, but watching over their souls, properly disciplining in the Church of Jesus Christ, admonishing God's people, so that they are constantly keepers upon the walls of Zion who watch over the souls of the church. They watch over Zion in their office. But that spiritual labor of the deacons is also evident in the scriptures. Theirs is a soul care too, a care that overlaps somewhat the soul care of the minister and the elders, and yet a soul care that is distinctively their own. There is a whole area of labor in the church that deals with the earthly, and in this case, the financial care of the church and God's people. And this is true because the Church of Jesus Christ always comes to manifestation in the Church Institute. And the Church Institute dwells in this present world. And God's people have present earthly needs. And these needs also must be met. The deacon's calling is to minister now to those particular needs. Usually, when we search out the labor of a deacon, it centers in the ministry of the gospel. Ministry of the gospel has to be maintained. That's their first calling as deacons. But there's a lot involved in the ministry of the gospel. For example, a church building must be maintained where we can hear the preaching of the word. The minister of the gospel has to be paid so that he can devote himself full time to the preaching of the gospel. There are other kingdom causes that must to be maintained in the church. The support of a seminary so that young men can be produced in the seminary or out of the seminary that will go forth and what? Preach the gospel in the Church of Jesus Christ. There are needy churches other than our own that their needs need to be met in our denomination of churches. There are ministers who retire, and their needs have to be met for the services that they rendered while they were active ministers in the church. And all of that, you see, centers around the maintaining of the ministry of the gospel. The deacons are appointed by the church to minister to those needs, to see to it that those needs are properly taken care of in the church. And he is called to labor that because, in that way, because he labors on behalf of Jesus Christ, who is himself the head of the church. And yet what we have mentioned so far does not really deal specifically with the care of individual souls. The individual souls of God's people. This means, of course, that there is another important aspect to the labors of a faithful deacon. A deacon's work is not simply collecting money every Sunday, as you see our deacon do in the past, and then go into the back room over here and count that money. And then, of course, make sure that that money is recorded well so that everything is being done decently and in good order in the church. That's just not his only job. And see to it that this is done. Deacon's job consists in caring for the souls of God's people. Those of God's people for whom the deacons care are those who are struggling and most often hurting financially in the church. The deacons are called upon by Jesus Christ to search out in the church those who are hurting, and that from a financial point of view. And when I say hurting, I don't just simply mean hurting in the fact that they're having a hard time juggling all of their finances and all of this. I mean, we all can have a very hard time at times doing that. I'm talking about saints of God that are hurting in their souls. Because financial stress in a home, in a family, or even in an individual life can cause hurt in the soul. We become worried. We become anxious. What do? I own a home. I own a car, maybe two cars. And now all of a sudden, my job can't support this in my life. What do? So I start to finagle, and I switch one fund from this one to another one, and I pretty soon see that I'm in such a pickle that I can't seem to make ends meet anymore. What do? That causes anxiety in the life of the child of God. And that's a spiritual need. Well, the deacons are called upon to search out in the Church of Jesus Christ those who perhaps have that particular need in their life. Now, it's true that there are those who are, the Bible refers to them as poor. I know that seems like a rather humiliating term. I don't like to call myself poor, but in the standards that we live in today, there are those in the church that do not make very much. And when they don't, they're considered to be the poor in the church. But there are also those who are poor in the church and have real struggles in their life because, well, they're a poor steward of what God has given them. So that they go out now and they spend much more than what they make. And they don't struggle to make ends meet, but they rather foolishly, and we could do that in our age of credit cards, you know, fill their credit cards and then live from month to month just paying the interest off of those credit cards and struggling and struggling. Some in the church have a genuine need. Other ones, of course, in the church create that need. And the deacons are there. The deacons are there. They're there to help them if they need help from that point of view as well, you see, in helping them keep perhaps their books in their home. And when the deacons do that, they do that, number one, very, very privately. And number two, they do that in a spirit of love and in a spirit of mercy in order to assist and to aid that kind of family also in the church so that they begin to see their responsibility in the home and in the church. Quite a task that falls on the shoulders of a deacon sometimes. When a deacon performs the work of soul care enthusiastically and cheerfully, then he's using the office of a deacon well and faithfully. And that's the point of the Apostle Paul now in the instruction that he gives to us here. An awesome calling. We always think that the work of a minister and of an elder is an awesome calling. Well, the work of a deacon is an awesome calling as well. To perform your work well, deacons, and for the benefit of the church, requires of the two of you to be men of prayer. And you must have a profound love also for your fellow saints here in the Church of Jesus Christ, because the church needs you, and the church needs your labors as well in the church. When you fulfill your calling and labors with such conviction, then deacons purchase to themselves a precious possession. A precious possession. And when we say possession, of course, we're not saying that by means of their labors the deacons are earning something or have merited anything in God's eyes by means of faithful labors. Oh yes, there's no doubt about it that God is pleased with elders, pastors, deacons who labor diligently and faithfully in the cause of the gospel. God is pleased with us when that's true. But then we also realize, don't we, office bearers, that when we perform our labors in the church, we're only performing exactly what was required of us to do. Nothing more. Not meriting anything by these labors. We're doing exactly what Jesus Christ himself has told us to do in the church. Yet, nevertheless, a deacon who is faithful in his work purchases something for himself. That labor in the mercies of Christ, that labor results in purchasing two things. First, the deacons who serve well, Paul says, purchase for themselves a good degree. They purchase a good degree. Now, there are two ways of interpreting this phrase of our text that are just not correct. Some, on the one hand, like to claim that as proof that a deacon who serves the church well purchases for himself a greater degree. That's not what the passage says, but they look at it as being a greater degree in his particular position or function in the church. In other words, they say the office of a deacon is always a stepping stone. And we use that to go from a member of the church to a deacon in the church and then to the greater degree, an elder in the church. So that we place the offices kind of by rank. Elder being here, deacon being here. That's not true. That's not true. It doesn't say greater degree. It says good degree. And we may not elevate one office in the church over and above the other office. That's wrong. Those are two distinct offices in the church. Men have particular qualifications for their office. Now, it may be true that later on in life, a deacon who has served well might be seen as eligible for the office of an elder too. Can do that too. But the fact of the matter is that a deacon is not a stepping stone to a greater degree, elders being greater, of course, in the church of Jesus Christ. That's not the interpretation of this passage. Otherwise, Paul would have used that word greater rather than good. A good degree in the office that you are serving as a deacon. That's what Paul says. Now, to the opposite extreme of that stands the interpretation of those who wish to spiritualize the phrase that we have before us here and make it refer to the deacon's place in heaven. A deacon who serves well, it is said, purchases for himself a good place of honor in heaven. God will give him a little higher place in heaven because he served the Lord well. Now, we're not saying that there aren't different degrees in heaven. My cup might be small, and I hope that my cup is full, but there are probably others in heaven who will have a larger cup than I do, and their cup will be full too. We're not saying that, but we do not merit by means of the labors that we perform in our own individual lives as God's people or in the offices. We do not merit a greater degree or even a good degree in heaven. That merit is ours only for the sake of Jesus Christ. Christ himself is the one who has merited for you and me our place in eternal glory. Nothing that we do on earth, whether in our own individual lives or in the offices of the church, will merit anything. Not a greater degree in heaven either, or a good degree. Besides that, the Greek here, once again, in the passage that we have before us, speaks of the present. They purchase, or better yet, they are purchasing for themselves a good degree. Here, below, not in heaven, but here below. So what then is meant by this particular phraseology of our text? On the foreground stands this. The deacons that serve well purchase for themselves a certain honor. Certain honor in the church that they serve. And that's not a personal honor. Although a man who serves the church well is held in high esteem. No doubt about that. But it's not a personal honor that the Apostle Paul is talking about here. He's talking about a certain honor, a degree of honor for the office. By faithful labors in the church of Christ, the deacons purchase a certain respect by God's people, a certain honor for the very office that they hold in the church of Jesus Christ. Christ is honored in them. After all, they're serving Christ in that position of a deacon in the church. Christ is that shepherd and bishop of our souls who entrusts this care to the deacon. And the deacon's office, of course, works out that office of Jesus Christ in heaven as our high priest. So the deacons, in fact, represent the very honor and majesty of Christ himself. And God's people, when they see men who serve well as deacons, will hold in honor them as well as the office that they serve. Servants of God's people are all held in high esteem. You know, let's not forget what the word deacon means. It means servant. It means attendant. It means I'm ministering to the needs of others. And you know, a servant is a rather lowly position, isn't it? Well, we hold that office high only when faithful deacons and elders and pastor labor humbly in the church of Jesus Christ and see themselves as servants to God's people and ultimately servants to Jesus Christ himself. When that humility is seen in your labors, then God's people will esteem the office that you hold in high degree. High degree. So they purchase to themselves a good degree. The second possession, our text tells us, is that the deacons purchase for themselves great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Our deacons ought to consider that gift well. It's a beautiful one, which is really a true blessing for any child of God. The faith now, they purchase unto themselves boldness in the faith, has that article in front of it, the faith. And whenever the scripture has that article "the" in front of it, it's not referring to the work of God in grafting us into Jesus Christ or the activity of faith in the life of the child of God. It's referring to the objective content of our faith, what we believe. In other words, deacons purchase to themselves boldness in what they believe, the doctrines of the church, the truth of God's word, the scriptures. Everything we believe as God's children are included in that word, the faith. And when it's applied now specifically to elders, deacons in the church, pastor in the church, then it makes reference to the fact that we represent in the church of Jesus Christ here the truths of God's word as they are set forth now in our denomination of churches. There's the faith. We represent that faith. And that faith must be found in our deacons too. In other words, not just simply that you maintain that objective faith, but that you believe in those objective truths of God's word. But that's only part of the picture, right? Because Paul says that the deacons purchase to themselves boldness now. Boldness in the faith. And that word boldness means freedom and unreservedness in speech or cheerful courage to speak. That's the gift that you're promised. You purchase to yourselves in your faithful labors the ability to take now the word of God, what you believe now in your hearts, speak about it openly and freely where the need arises in the church. The courage to apply the word of God where and when it is necessary. The ability to speak words of comfort to God's people and words of admonition to God's people. I say that's a wonderful possession, deacons, because is that not exactly what we fear when we go and serve in an office? What am I going to say when I go to some person's house and I know their need? I need to bring them the word of God, the faith. I have to bring that to them. How am I going to do that? What am I going to pray about when I go to their house with them? It kind of makes a person a bit nervous when you have to go on a visit of that sort, or when you're first standing in a consistory room and it's your turn to pray in front of all of those elders and other deacons that are sitting there. And you get nervous over that. This gives you boldness, you see. Those who labor in the office of a deacon faithfully, they receive boldness from God, and they will find the words to speak to God's people in all of their needs. That's a gift. That's a gift. You purchase that to yourselves. A boldness that comes with your love for Jesus Christ, and a boldness that comes with your love for the church of Jesus Christ. And I say, people of God, that's a necessary encouragement. It gives the deacon together with the elder incentive to labor in their offices. And that incentive is much needed today. I believe the offices in the church are far too often despised and belittled. And that's true of those who stand outside of the Church of Jesus Christ and who don't recognize the offices in the church. But even within the realm of Christianity itself, there are very few, it seems, that understand the proper function and the proper authority that Christ entrusts to office bearers in the church, and that of deacon too. As I said, people are well versed, it seems, when it comes to all kinds of other doctrines in the scripture, but when it comes to the doctrine of the church itself, that's where people, even in the church, they just don't have the knowledge. I don't know why, because the scripture is full of the knowledge of the church, but they don't have it. And as a result, they don't see the need for the offices in the church. They don't see the authority that Christ invests, not only in the elders, but in the deacons of the church too, and in the pastors of the gospel. And I say that that's become true somewhat even in our own churches, where there are some that will look at office bearers and their sole care of God's people as being incompetent. They're not able to perform their functions, and that for soul care we need to go outside of the church and receive care from somebody out there, not in the church itself. So we have here an incentive. And you know well it's not a monetary incentive. You're working for nothing as far as wages are concerned in the church. A lot of time spent working for nothing. But indeed, a spiritual incentive is given us. So we find incentive to continue to work in the office of deacon, but we also find incentive to do the work well. May our deacons and our elders, of course, labor with diligence, knowing that God will give them everything that they need to serve in their offices in the church. And may we as God's people hold the office of deacon in highest esteem and honor as well, giving to that office dignity and honor. God bless the labors of our office bearers. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. May that word find a ready entrance into our hearts. And may we see the need for the work of the deacons in our midst. And Father, we pray that thou wilt again go with us to watch over us as office bearers in the church, but also as members of the church, that together we might rejoice in thee, our God, and in the rule of Jesus Christ over us through men whom he has appointed. Forgive us of our sins now. Go with us throughout the remainder of our worship As we install now our new deacon, we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. We now turn to the four.